Good morning and welcome to Catalate, where breakfast meets catechism. This is Chuck Meether, and this morning we look at Lord's Day number 3, question and answer number 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism. From where then does this depraved nature of man come? From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise, whereby our nature became so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. There are those who profess Christ, but do not believe in the doctrine of original sin. The Apostle Paul in Romans 5 reminds us in verses 12, 18, and 19, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so that by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." And then the psalmist says in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And earlier in the Psalter, in Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is not one who does good, not even one." So you see, dear friends, from that first sin, we have all become corrupt. Doctrinal positions that challenge original sin include Pelagianism, Semi-Pelagianism, and Arminianism. Pelagianism contends that the human will has not been so corrupted by original sin that it is certainly in the realm of possibility for humans to achieve moral sanctity. The effects of original sin are seen in the environment or culture, and the impact of moral pollution can be minimized through social improvement. The British monk Pelagius argued that human effort and merit could result in salvation without divine grace. And again, the catechism here is saying that the depravity of mankind is so pervasive that man is incapable of doing any good outside of the grace extended to man. And then close to Pelagianism is Semi-Pelagianism, and Semi-Pelagians attempt to land somewhere between Pelagius and Augustine. They hold that faith begins independently of God's grace. However, grace is subsequently needed for salvation. Thus, predestination is not God determining the elect and the reprobate, but God foreknowing the fate of each human being. So, because faith begins independently of God's grace, this doctrine does require human ability. And again, the Catechism says that the depraved nature of man became so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Now, later in question and answer number 8, which we'll see tomorrow, we'll see how pervasive all of this is regarding our ability. And finally, there is Arminianism. And Arminianism is a system of doctrine named after Dutch theologian Jacob Arminius. In contrast to the Lutheran and Calvinist view of predestination as God's unconditional election unto salvation, Arminius argued that predestination was essentially God foreknowing those individuals who by free will would either accept or reject Christ. Unlike Calvin's emphasis on the sovereignty of God, Arminius emphasized responsibility and the will of man. One of the key tenets includes partial depravity, which is why we are looking at this today in light of question and answer number 7. This partial depravity, where fallen and tainted humanity is still able to seek God with the help of prevenient grace. There are other parts of this doctrine, such as conditional election, which are not germane to original sin, so we won't touch on that regarding Arminianism. But it should be known to us, in God's Word, that our nature became so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. That's what the partaking of the forbidden fruit had done. And you can find more on that from Genesis 3.